Chapter 21. The star carrier Deal Me In was officially declared overdue when that ship failed to contact a relay station as scheduled. The relay station noted the event and sent the notice to a passing ship the next day, but the local Jarraptha Fleet Base commander did not become concerned immediately. She did not become concerned because a delay of 1 or 2 days during a long training mission was not unusual, and because she had much more important matters on her mind. The Bosphorak, who had been quiet for decades along the border they shared with the Jarraptha, had suddenly demonstrated a radical change of tactics. The bird brains had unexpectedly launched attacks into territory recently lost by the Theranin. These attacks, supported by ships of their client species the Wirgalin to handle the grunt work of taking planets and scouring solar systems of threats, were mostly conducted by battle groups of the standard Bosphorak fleet action deployment. 2 battleships escorted by a half-dozen cruisers and up to 15 destroyers, frigates, and support vessels. The Jarraptha had long-standing tactics to deal with a Bosphorak battlegroup, either alone or in multiple units, so at first the local fleet commander was not overly concerned. Then she received reports of something new and alarming. Bosphorak and Theranin ships operating together. Based on very skimpy data coming in from Jarraptha ships that had been hit hard by the unexpected enemy offensive, it appeared the Theranin were taking a supporting role in recapturing the territory they had recently lost. Few Krystang ships were participating, perhaps because those lizards were busily enjoying one of their regularly scheduled murderous civil wars. Regardless, it was mostly the Wirgalin doing the dirty grunt work of securing planets after the combined Bosphorak-Theranin warships cleared a star system of resistance and rolled on to the next objective. So when another 4 days went by, and the Deal Me In still had not contacted a relay station or friendly ship, the star carrier and its attached task force of Ruhar ships was declared missing. It worried the local fleet commander that the Deal Me In had been operating close to the area where the Bosphorak suddenly attacked, and that no other Jarraptha fleet assets had been in that area at the time. The star carrier had been operating there with a group of Ruhar ships conducting training exercises, because that area was supposed to be safe. The local fleet commander had 3 emotional reactions. First, shock and outrage, not at the carnage caused by the Bosphorak attack, but because she recently had wagered the Theranin would not go on the offensive in her sector for another 15 months. Her shock was that she had been caught on the wrong side of the wager, and her outrage was that the unscrupulous bean counters at the central office of wagering would not cut her a break just because the Bosphorak had taken the lead in the attack. Theranin warships were participating in the offensive, so she had lost the wager, period. That argument would seesaw back and forth in the courts for years, and the terms of the wager might be adjusted slightly, but overall, the local fleet commander was well and truly screwed. Second, she felt sorry for the crew of the Deal Me In and its attached Ruhar task force. Considering the scale of the enemy offensive, the star carrier being declared missing very likely meant it had been lost to enemy action, and she quenched her feelings of sorrow long enough to post a wager that the Deal Me In had in fact been destroyed. The third emotion she felt was regret. Regret that she could not spare even a single ship of her overtasked fleet to search for the Deal Me In. That old star carrier, with its attached group of older Ruhar ships that had been working up crew trainees for fleet service, was simply not important enough to devote scarce resources to a search she felt certain would have only one result, finding scattered debris. The worst part of the situation was that as the Deal Me In had been operating independently, it did not have a predetermined flight plan when it departed from the planet the Ruhar called Gitanu. It could be anywhere, and even the entire Jarraptha fleet might never find a single piece of debris from that ship. No, she could not detach even a frigate for the search operation, so she did the only thing she could do, the only action that might resolve the mystery of the star carrier's fate. She used local fleet funds to post an open wager across Jarraptha space. A wager that no trace of the lost star carrier would be found within 47 days. The terms of the wager were generous and should prove enticing to any commercial vessel crazy and desperate enough to go looking around in what was now Bosphorak-controlled space. Of course, she also registered a small offsetting wager of her own, in the case of a miracle that even one of the Deal Me In's crew were found alive. The sure thing was an old, very old, Jarratha Star Carrier that had been retired, sold, and much modified over the centuries, with few of the modifications making the ship better or even keeping it in the marginal condition it had suffered from before the alterations. While the Sure Thing had left its original shipyard with 3 main and 2 auxiliary reactors, 14 hardpoints for docking ships, a railgun and multiple missile launchers and maser cannons, it now was much reduced in power and fortune. A single ancient and leaky reactor powered the ship, with auxiliary power provided by worn-out power cells and a type of primitive Ruhar fuel cells that even the Ruhar no longer used aboard their own ships. Only 3 hardpoints now remained, those being suitable only for cargo containers, which was fine, as the Sure Thing now carried only cargo across the star lanes. Of the original armament, only a single maser cannon remained, other than maser turrets for self-defense, and all those units had exciters that were more likely to explode and damage the ship than protect it. As a search and rescue ship, the Sure Thing had only 3 things in its favor. It was a former star carrier, capable of traveling vast distances on its own. It had excellent sensor gear, because the crew wanted to avoid danger, and even more wanted to avoid Jarratha Revenue and Customs ships that were currently seeking to impound Sure Thing for unpaid docking fees, violating space maneuver regulations, and flying a poorly maintained ship whose spaceworthiness certificate had expired the previous year. And the most important factor in favor of the Sure Thing was that ship's owners were truly, absolutely desperate. They already owed more in unpaid fees and lost wagers than the ship was worth. The crew had not been paid for months, both for salaries and for a lengthy list of wagers the crew had won against the vessel's owners. Thus, the 2 owners of the Sure Thing, a married couple, had nothing to lose when they heard about the wager to find the lost Deal Me In. Unfortunately, they also had nothing to wager with. Vinceriento Vinny Gumbano clicked his antenna together nervously in a gesture he knew his business partner understood was a sign that Vinny was about to say something she might not like. Vinny concentrated on holding his antenna still, but as soon as his concentration slipped, they clicked their tips against each other, causing Amari Viso to cross both her arms and her own antenna.
"What is it now, Vinny?"
"Darling, this is a marvelous opportunity. We'll never get an opportunity like this again."
"You mean never again, because if we don't cash in now, we'll lose the ship and be totally out of action. The next port we put into, the customs and revenue people will seize this bucket, and we can't stop them."
For the past year, the Sure Thing had been running on borrowed time, multiple false registrations, and a well-placed wager that the Customs and Revenue Service would catch the ship within 14 months. The last time they were in port, an official from Customs and Revenue had almost certainly seen through the thin cover of their false registration, but since that official had taken the other side of the wager, that his service would not catch the Sure Thing, the ship had been allowed to slip away. That particular wager was some of the best money Vinny and Amari had ever spent.
"Vinny, dear, you don't need to sell me on this one. I agree. We should take the action for finding the Deal Me In. There is only one problem. We don't have anything to wager with. We owe more on this ship than it's worth, and the Central Wagering Office knows that. We can't even pay off the bets we've lost in the last year."
"We do have something to wager."
Vinny's antenna fairly danced. He was so nervous.
"I insured our cargo for double its value."
His eyes cast down to the deck, then flicked upward to see his partner's reaction. She laughed.
"You too? I insured it for double."
Vinny was less surprised than he might have been, for he was used to Amari outguessing him.
"The cargo is insured for 4 times its value?"
5,
came another voice from the hatchway, and in walked their 2 remaining crew members, the only ones who had hung on when the paychecks and wager payoffs stopped flowing. Cletus Delroy had not left the ship because he was Amari's brother, and because he figured his only chance to collect on back pay and wagers was to stay with the ship and watch the 2 owners with keen eyes and a suspicious heart.
"We," he pointed to indicate his wife, Thelmer, "took out our own insurance policy." "You don't have an insurable interest,"
Amari groaned, wary of her sometimes dim-witted brother's schemes.
Cletus had good concepts. He was just not good at the details, so something usually went wrong. Almost always went wrong.
"Don't worry," Thelmer assured the ship's owners.
I ran it through shell companies.
You did? Amari asked hopefully.
Why?
Cleeters clacked his antenna irritably.
You don't trust me.
I do trust you, dear brother. I trust Thelma more.
She did it.
Cleeters let his antenna flop.
But it was my idea.
Good. Excellent.
Vinny interrupted, wanting to forestall another argument between Amari and her brother. But he was just a bit too late.
Why did you insure our cargo?
Amari pressed her brother, drawing herself up on her hind set of legs.
Because,
Thelmer stepped between the siblings.
We want to get back pay, regardless of what happens to this ship. At this point, you have an incentive for this ship to suffer an unfortunate accident, if you know what I mean. That might solve the problem you two got into, but it would leave Cleeters and me with nothing. Don't tell me that ditching this ship never crossed your mind, Amari. I know you're smarter than that.
Amari looked to her business and life partner, and when Vinny said nothing, she sighed.
Let's put all that aside for now, hm? We have agreed to take this wager, to find the deal me in. You have agreed to the wager,
Thelma insisted.
Cleeters and I will keep our interest in the cargo. But honey,
Cleeters pleaded,
this is juicy action. You don't want to get in on this one? We are in this.
Thelma stroked her husband's face with an antenna.
Our part of the wager is the back pay and wagers we are already owed, and will collect if we find the deal me in. Plus our ship owners are cutting us in for 30% for our labor.
30?
Amari screeched, outraged.
5? 5%?
The two women argued back and forth, with their men wisely staying out of the way. Cleeters went to the galley and got two glasses of cold Burgos for himself and Vinny, and they whispered to arrange a bet on what percentage the women would agree to. When Amari and Thelmer grudgingly touched antennas to agree on 12.3%, Cleeters smiled and took a sip of the Burgos, having won his wager.
Now we are all agreed.
Vinny's tone was sour, for he wished Amari had negotiated more forcefully. Privately, he would have agreed to cut the crew members in for 17%, so settling for just over 12 was a victory. He enjoyed watching Amari in action, but he hated losing a wager to her brother.
Yes.
Amari's expression was less than happy.
We only have one problem.
What's that? Cleeters bent an antenna back to scratch the nape of his neck.
We have no idea where to look for a single lost star carrier.
I do.
Vinny winked with more than a hint of smugness.
You? When our entire fleet has no idea where that ship might have gone?
Our fleet is powerful, victorious, and well-managed. They're also not good at thinking beyond their training. The fleet does not know where the deal me in went, so they assume they can't know. We are going to figure out where the ship might have gone, check those places one by one, until we find a flight recorder buoy or some other evidence to lead us to that ship.
Where it might have gone. Fleet stated that Star Carrier was on detached service carrying a training group. Their plans were flexible. They could have gone anywhere.
No, not anywhere. Most places they could have gone were safe, and we wouldn't be searching for them now. Wherever they went, they ran into trouble. Unexpected trouble. Something happened. They saw something to pull them out of their training routine. Whatever they saw, it wasn't serious enough to cancel the training exercise and report to a relay station. It had to be something that sparked their curiosity, but wasn't immediately seen as a serious threat.
What? You want us to guess?
Amari asked with an anxiety informed by long experience with Vinny's schemes.
No, I want us to review the data we have. The fleet won't send us any more data than they included in the wager, so we need to search elsewhere.
Like?
Fleeter scratched his head with an antenna.
Where?
We start here.
Vinny grinned, knowing he had hooked his audience.
We know the deal me in passed by this relay station.
Yes. And?
Thelmer was skeptical, having fallen victim to many of Vinny's half-baked schemes over the years.
There are 13 star systems within range of that relay station, plus 2 wormholes.
True. But the Glando system.
Vinny tapped the display with one antenna.
was among the first to be hit by the Bosphorak. Before you tell me that information is worthless, yes, we also know from our garrison at Glando that no star carrier arrived until a fleet squadron 4 days ago. We do know the fleet suspects the Bosphorak refueled in this red dwarf system before the attack on Glando. There is an automated sensor picket station orbiting a gas giant around that red dwarf, and one of our recon ships reported that station is now offline.
So,
what if a Ruhar ship attached to the Deal Me In jumped into that red dwarf system and noticed the picket station was offline? Investigating a minor mystery like that would be a good training exercise.
Ah,
Amari's head bobbed excitedly.
Again, so?
Cleeters hadn't caught on yet.
If we find debris from Ruhar ships, their government would pay us for the information, but that doesn't win the bet for us. We need to find the Deal Me In, and the Star Carrier would have remained outside the system.
If Ruhar ships were destroyed there, we should find flight recorder drones in the debris field, Amari explained patiently for her partner. Those drones will tell us where the ship planned to rendezvous with the Star Carrier. We do have the codes to make those Ruhar drones respond to us, at least for the limited data set we need. The Deal Me In should have moved on from that rendezvous point as soon as the Ruhar ships were aboard, but once the crew realized they were in a potential combat situation, they would have dropped off drones to report their planned course. We will query those drones and follow that course. Now that we are officially on a search and rescue mission for the fleet, we also have the codes for fleet drones.
That is it.
Cleeters was not persuaded.
What if we don't find anything in this red dwarf system?
There are two more possibilities I can think of,
Vinny glared at his brother-in-law.
We keep going.
Hopping around enemy-controlled space until we find something? Or we are caught by a Bosphorak task force?
Cleeters leaned forward on his front legs, ignoring his wife stroking the back of his neck to calm him.
That is your plan?
You understand why the fleet offered such generous terms on the wager, don't you? Because it is dangerous.
We'll do it, Thelmer said, before Cleeters could respond.
The Sure Thing did not find any debris or evidence of a battle in the Red Dwarf system where the automated picket station had stopped functioning. No flight recorder drones responded to their pings, but they did detect gamma-ray bursts from enemy ships. Too many enemy ships. Stretching their luck until it nearly broke, they hopped around the system waiting for drones to respond, then jumped far away when a Theranan destroyer got too close for comfort. The second possibility on their search list, the one Vinny thought had the least promise, paid off for their risk. Vinny grumbled because Thelmer had placed and won a side bet that the second site would provide the data they needed, but he could not argue with success. The second site was nothing more than an imaginary point in space designated for civilian ships to wait for a star carrier in case of an emergency in the Bardek system, close to the former border of Theranan territory. Bardek itself was barely worth the attention of the enemy, having no habitable planets and being useful only for an asteroid field rich in rare elements. But any attackers wanting to push farther into Jarapta territory needed to secure their flanks by taking Bardek first. The rendezvous site where the Sure Thing jumped in was actually the second backup location for civilian ships to rendezvous, and because it was so far from Bardek, a ship would need to be in severe distress to go all the way there. Vinny's logic had been to check that site first, because a sudden Bosphorak attack on Bardek would certainly be considered a severe emergency. The Sure Thing's sensors, one of the few shipboard systems in proper working order, picked up a large debris field, mostly broken Ruhar ships, but also the remains of a single Jarapta cargo transport ship. Pinging for a Jarapta drone was fruitless. Either the cargo transport did not have time to eject its flight recorder data, or the drone had been destroyed. While warships carried drones with sophisticated stealth capabilities, civilian ships could rarely afford, and rarely would need, such unnecessary luxuries. Pinging for Ruhar military drones was more useful. They got replies from a half-dozen ships, and the drones all told slightly different versions of the same tragic story. Ruhar ships on a routine training mission away from the Deal Me In had detected mysterious gamma-ray bursts, and when they returned, the Star Carrier was sufficiently curious to halt the training exercise and launch two recon task forces. but not sufficiently alarmed to entirely break off from its mission and contact the Jarraptha fleet directly. The Deal Me In had dropped off two groups of Ruhar ships, one group at the rendezvous point where the Sure Thing had jumped in. Those unfortunate Ruhar ships had been ambushed by a force of Wargalan ships supported by a single Bosphorok battlecruiser.
Some Ruhar ships escaped. We have the coordinates where they were scheduled to meet the Star Carrier?
Vinny asked distractedly, his concentration on the sensors, wary of booby traps left behind by the enemy.
We do, Amari confirmed. We should get out of here.
Wait!
Cleeters waved both arms and antenna.
We're going to jump into a rendezvous point where a military Star Carrier may have been destroyed? We should think about this first.
Agreed, brother. I have thought about it.
Amari pressed a button on the console in front of her, and the Sure Thing jumped. There were no enemy ships waiting at the rendezvous point. Only a drone dropped off by the Deal Me In before it had jumped to pick up the second group of Ruhar ships. This time, Vinny hesitated while their ship's jump coils recharged.
Darling, we are on the trail of the Deal Me In. That is far more than our fleet accomplished. Maybe we should contact the fleet and let them take the search from here. They'll cut us in for 20%, maybe.
Amari sniffed. They'll cut us out, you mean? We do all the hard work, and now you want to let the fleet take 80% of our wager?
We know the Deal Me In wasn't destroyed here, so every place we jump following that ship, the more likely it is we run into trouble.
Vinny almost pleaded, having suddenly lost his appetite for risk.
If we get caught in a damping field, we get cut out of 100%.
Dearest,
Amari took a breath to give herself patience, as she often did when dealing with her partner.
20% is not enough to pay off our debts, plus the fines we've racked up. It's all or nothing. If we contact the fleet now, even if we get 20%, we lose this ship and we'll be on the run. Again. Do you want that?
No.
Vinny hated being convinced he was wrong, especially because in this case he had thought contacting the fleet was what Amari wanted.
Thelmer, Cleeters, the only way you're getting what we already owe you is if we follow this through.
Vinny's brother-in-law surprised him.
We want our cut. I know it's risky, but we've come this far, dang it. And now I just have to know what happened to that ship.
Vinny was all for taking risk if there was a potential payoff. But since the jump to follow the Deal Me In involved risk with not much corresponding reward, he directed the ship to jump in far enough away that his ship had a decent chance to escape if enemy ships were in the area. He was excited, and he knew his three companions were equally eager to see if the lost Star Carrier was at the rendezvous point. The best case would be for the Deal Me In to be found intact, merely suffering some engineering failure and unable to jump, with the attached Ruhar ships lacking range to jump all the way to the nearest occupied star system or relay station to call for help. The worst case would be to find a debris field surrounded by enemy ships, where the Sure Thing would be trapped and destroyed. With the rotten luck he had recently, and by recently Vinny meant most of his adult life, he was not betting on a best-case scenario.
No enemy ships, or ships of any kind, Amari reported soon after the sensors reset from the jump. Unless they're in stealth, she added without needing to.
They all understood the ship's sensors, which exceeded even the capabilities of the gear aboard the ship when it was a frontline star carrier in fleet service, could not quickly detect ships encased in stealth fields. She set the passive sensors to search for the faint ripples sometimes detectable when a stealth ship passed in front of a star and powered up the active sensor field. The gamma rays of their inbound jump had lit up the area like a strobe light. There was no point trying to remain quiet.
Oh, this is not good. I'm picking up debris. A lot of it.
Pinging for flight recorder drones. Ours and Ruhar. I've got a bad feeling about this.
Vinny kept one antenna poised over the emergency jump button while his fingers flew over the controls.
All systems ready to jump on your mark.
Cleeters didn't take his eyes away from his own console. Vinny was generally an optimist to the point of taking foolish risks that had gotten him in trouble again and again. If he had a bad feeling, Cleaters did not want to remain in the area any longer than they had to. When the Bosphorok battlecruiser jumped away, after having broken the Jarratha Star Carrier and destroying all the Ruhar ships except for one unimportant old training cruiser that jumped away, it had left a nasty surprise for any Jarratha ships searching for the lost Deal Me In. The battlecruiser dropped off 11 ship-killer missiles, keyed to react only to Jarratha or equivalent technology ships. The missiles had been instructed to ignore any Ruhar ships jumping into the battle space, as those ships could not reach a habitable planet from that location and were already as good as dead anyway. After their mothership jumped away, the missiles spread out in a wide pattern to cover the area, then went silent and activated their tightly wrapped stealth fields. The missiles noted when the Ruhar training cruiser jumped back in, and they did not drop stealth or attack or react in any way. Even when they observed the old cruiser attaching itself to a docking platform on what used to be the aft end of the Star Carrier. The tiny brains of the missiles were smart, and each missile silently fretted while watching passively as the enemy worked on what remained of the Star Carrier. The enemy was clearly doing something to get the Star Carrier's jump drive functioning again, and each missile agonized about whether the Jarratha ship being restored to even limited flight capability should authorize the missiles to attack. If they could have conferred with each other, they might have decided this unprecedented event allowed them to stretch the bounds of their orders. But the missiles had been programmed for strict communication silence. After the astonishing event of the broken Star Carrier jumping safely away from the battle space, two of the missiles became deranged by their failure to act, and safeguards built into their artificial brains caused those missiles to fry their electronics and hang cold and dead in space, slowly drifting farther from the battle space. The other 9 missiles queried their instructions set to determine what they should have done based on their orders, and the missiles decided their instruction sets did not encompass the possibility of a broken Star Carrier jumping to safety. So, the missiles felt they were free to rewrite their instructions to carry out their overall mission, and they became absolutely determined not to let any type of enemy ship get away ever again. And to hell with their stupid original orders.
Getting responses from drones. Delmer's eyes scanned the flood of incoming data. That's odd. There is a second set of drones out there.
Ours? Or Ruhar?
Vinny asked distractedly, concentrating on his own set of sensor data. It was clear a Jarratha ship had been hit in that area. Enough of the debris was unmistakably from a Jarratha warship, and he also detected residual signs of Bosphorok warheads. Missiles had been flying, Jarratha, Bosphorok, and Ruhar. What he could not yet understand was the debris with Jarratha signatures did not have enough mass to be from an entire Star Carrier, not even an old one, like the Deal Me In. Had part of the Star Carrier been transformed into subatomic particles? Or had the Bosphorok somehow, for some unknown but disturbing reason, taken away part of the old Deal Me In? Vinny did not like the thought of that.
Both, Cleters responded, surprise in his tone. There is a second, later set of drones from the Deal Me In, and from a Ruhar training cruiser.
You are certain they are from the Deal Me In?
The registration code is unmistakable.
Thelmer let irritation creep into her voice. Did the ship's owner think she didn't know her job?
I verified.
Missile warning, red! Jump us out of here!
Vinny would not have hesitated except that he had no choice. His antenna nearly pressed the button for a pre-programmed emergency jump. Only seeing a red light flashing on his console made him stop.
Damping field! He shouted.
The sure thing had jumped in just beyond the rough sphere formed by the 9 remaining active missiles, so only 2 missiles had any chance to hit the ship. Fortunately for the sure thing, even the closest missile was far enough away that it needed to compromise stealth by engaging its propulsion system to get within effective range of its warhead. Unfortunately for the sure thing, the missile that was slightly farther away contained a technology that was possessed only by the Bosphorok, Maxulks, and Rindaloo. It was a short-duration damping field, powered by detonation of the missile's warhead. Compared to similar devices owned by the 2 senior species, the Bosphorok damping generator was crude and effective for only a short sphere around the missile, Socrew, the Maxalts, had not objected too strongly when their clients recently managed to reverse-engineer the technology.
Damping effect? From where?
Amaree screeched, throwing up her hands. She did not see a ship on sensors, and no ship could both maintain stealth and generate a damping field at the same time. No known ship had that capability, a thought which sent an icy chill from the end of her antenna to the toes of her hind legs. Could they be facing a Maxalt's warship? And why was there the distinct signature of a missile warhead detonation at the center of the damping field? A section of the display caught her eye.
Jump!
Vinny looked at his partner.
But we're caught in...
I know. Jump!
Jump now!
The sure thing jumped. Sort of.
What was that?
Vinny hugged a chair with both sets of legs while gripping the sides of the console with both hands, taking even gulps of air to quell his queasy stomach.
Something new. Something we've never seen. The fleet will be interested in this data.
Amaree weakly waved a hand at her own console, blinking to make her eyes focus. It didn't help. The problem wasn't with her eyes. It was with her rattled brain, which was throbbing with the beginning of a painful headache. She sent a command to her internal medical monitor to release pain suppressors into her bloodstream and turned her attention back to the data that was still compiling.
The damping field was projected by a missile.
A missile? How? Vinny realized that question was not important at the moment. The ship had jumped less than one light hour from the battle space, and if they were being pursued by an enemy warship, the sure thing was surely in major trouble. If the attack had been conducted only by missiles, the crew had time to inspect and make repairs to the jump drive before moving away.
Forget it. Good work, darling. How did you know?
I saw the damping field had peaked and was already weakening. The missile must only be able to project a temporary bubble. There was either a regular missile homing in on us,
she wasn't able yet to make sense of the sensor data,
or another damping field coming after the first one passed us by. We jumped just as the damping field strength dropped below the critical limit.
Below the critical limit for most ships, with the condition of our old drive system.
Vinny didn't finish the thought.
Good enough. We have evidence the deal me in was destroyed, so we should head back as soon as we...
Not yet. Thelmer held up a hand for attention.
The deal me in was hit, but not destroyed.
It jumped away?
Vinny asked incredulously. From the debris field he had scanned, the star carrier had been thoroughly ripped apart.
Not exactly.
What do you mean, not exactly?
Thelmer's antennas twitched with amusement.
You are not going to believe this.
That is impossible,
Vinny declared flatly. A broken star carrier had jumped under the control of a Ruhar ship? A Ruhar ship commanded by a human? Vinny's mind reeled at the idea of a lowly human being in command of anything more complicated than a rowboat. His gambler's brain pounded at the unlikeliness of a broken star carrier jumping at all, and that the jump controller had been developed by the Ruhar. He would have wagered everything he had that neither of those events could have been possible. Yet, according to the flight recorder log certified as accurate by the Deal Me In's former crewman Arlon Dahl, it had been the clever thinking and initiative of the human called Emily Perkins that saved both her old Ruhar cruiser, the life of Arlon Dahl, and the aft section of the Deal Me In.
It happened. Therefore, it is not impossible, Thelmer retorted. Do you want to bet on it?
No,
Vinny replied automatically, as he had lost too many wagers to his sister-in-law.
Amaree, we need to follow that...
What could he call it? The thing that had jumped away from the battle space was not a star carrier, and the Ruhar training ship was not capable of jumping a useful distance.
Follow what is left of the Deal Me In.
What? Why? Amaree was wary of another scheme from Vinny.
We have proof that we found the missing ship.
We found part of the missing ship. Those sleazy bureaucrats at Central Wagering will use any excuse to cut our winnings, you know that. Darling, we can follow easily.
There is less danger going into Kristang space than there is for us being here. When we locate the ship and the one crewman who survived,
Vinny knew there would be a bonus if they could bring back Arlen Dahl.
The fleet will surely forgive all past transgressions we've committed.
Allegedly committed.
Plus,
Vinny was getting wound up with enthusiasm.
That training ship is full of cadets. The Ruhar will reward us well for bringing back their precious children.
You hope.
I believe.
This is a sure thing.
Amari put her hands on her hips, and Vinny knew what that meant.
Like all your sure things before?
This is different.
Different how?
This time, you agree with me.
Vinny flashed a winning smile. Amari sighed.
Maybe you're right. This one time, mind you. Besides, there's one thing you forgot.
What is that?
A Ruhar ship controlled one of our jump drives. The Ruhar fleet will pay dearly for the knowledge of how that happened.
Thelmer and Cleeters agreed wholeheartedly, even enthusiastically, to the idea of following the deal me in. All four aboard were greedily imagining their cuts of the wager and rewards money, and all four were burning with curiosity to learn whether the aft end of the deal me in had successfully jumped or had exploded into a million pieces. For another species, agreement and curiosity would have been enough to settle the issue. For the Giraptha, those factors merely served as an opening for renegotiating their financial arrangements and to set side wagers on whether the broken star carrier had in fact survived a jump. And had jumped more than once, had flown through a wormhole, had arrived at a Kristang-controlled star system. There were other wagers on how many, if any, of the cadets and other crew would still be alive when the sure thing arrived. Vinny allowed the dickering back and forth to continue, both because he couldn't resist getting in on the action, and because work to inspect and repair the ship's jump drive continued during the negotiations. Only after all wagers were properly registered and the jump drive was fully checked out did the sure thing jump to follow the planned course of the deal me in.